The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The bribery allegation, Congresswoman Nancy Mace says there's damning evidence in the FBI file that you sold out the country. Do you have a response to the congressional Republicans?
Where's the money? I'm joking.
Mr. President,
it's a bunch of malarkey.
Where's the money, he says? That's a good question. It's certainly spread out among the 20 LLCs that his crime family set up to hide the money. It's almost as if they're taunting you. Yeah, sure. Go see if you can find the money. Nancy Mace, spoken of there by that reporter, said earlier today that even in this document that the Republicans were finally able to see yesterday, even in the document, the Biden people brag about how long it would take for anyone to even find the money. I mean, this is a well-orchestrated crime scheme that was set up by Barack Obama and Joe Biden and the Biden crime family and the Clintons. They know how to play the game well as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com. Just go to our very own website, TrumpetDaily.com, or you can go to our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for The Trumpet Daily, and it will take you to our channel where we also stream the show live. And, of course, either of these websites can also provide you with the show after the fact if you choose to listen or to view on demand. You can have the show downloaded to your devices as well through the iPhone or whatever else it is. You know how to do it probably a lot better than I do. In any event, lots to get to on today's show. We've got some Celtic Throne feedback from the show in York the other night. And speaking of Celtic Throne, the next show is in Richmond, Virginia. That's on Monday. I believe there's 410 tickets that have been sold for that show. And then following Richmond, you've got Virginia Beach right near Norfolk that has sold 736 tickets already. So there's still 4 or 5 days before that performance. The one in Virginia Beach is shaping up to be one of the biggest audiences that has ever watched the show live. I think Ryman, the first year round, was somewhere near 1,000. So we'll see if we can get close to 1,000 in Virginia Beach. That would be awesome. But if you're anywhere around the Virginia area, you've got some good opportunities coming up to view Celtic Throne live and in person, and maybe even give some feedback to one of our roving reporters so that you can hear yourself on this show. Also today, we've got the current news segment that we typically run on Fridays. So as I say, lots and lots to get to. Together with that, quite a few clips that we want to try to play. But how convenient is it? Here, of course, the big news, the indictment of Donald Trump. We knew that it was coming. We've talked about it all week. But that comes down on the very same day that these Republican committee members actually view that document that Chris Wray said didn't exist initially. But then after Comer, after Grassley said, look, we know it exists. We've read it. We've seen it. So he finally turns it over. You can't make copies. They've got to go into the skiff and read it and then leave. They can jot a few notes down, I guess. Marjorie Taylor Greene did. But what a charade. It's like a game that's being played. And the document, it not only, as I've said earlier this week, it not only exposes the Biden crime family, this bribery scheme, it exposes the FBI. That's why Chris Wray wanted to sit on it for as long as possible. What more do you need in the way of evidence to actually uphold the rule of law? You hear so many radical Democrats talking about the rule of law. Well, Donald Trump, He took off with documents, so he's got to be punished. They don't talk so much about the rule of law when it comes to receiving millions of dollars from Burisma, from the CCP. I mean, $5 million from Burisma to get Joe Biden, while he's vice president, working under Barack Obama, to get a prosecutor fired that was looking into Burisma and all of its shady dealings. And we now know that Burisma, they hired Hunter. This was part of the bribery scheme. Hunter didn't know anything about oil and gas. He's hired and paid, what, $70,000, $80,000 per month? And it's all so that Joe Biden can swing into action and get the prosecutor fired. And he bragged about it later. He bragged about firing the prosecutor, withholding that $1 billion from Ukraine. And what did they get Trump on? They impeached him. They impeached him for a phone call, for asking the Ukrainian authorities, Zelensky, to look into Burisma and Biden and this crime network, this crime syndicate. And now we're seeing the evidence of the crimes. And who's the one that's been punished so far? Just Trump, because he called, because he made a phone call. I heard Elise Stefanik earlier today say that the Biden people, they're guilty of treason. Well, okay, then where are the articles of impeachment then? There's plenty of good sound bites out there. Stefanik or Nancy Mace or whoever. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Byron Donalds, all of them coming out and giving some of the details of what's in that document. That document that the FBI tried to hide and conceal, just like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. Now it's made known. Now we know. Just try for a moment to wrap your mind around this. Joe Biden, while he's vice president, receiving, not Hunter, well, Hunter got $5 million too, but Joe Biden getting $5 million from a Burisma rep in return for him getting the prosecutor fired. It's bribery. It's treason. It's selling out America. That's exactly what the reporter asked of Joe Biden. And his response? Where's the money? Show me the money. Just taunting. Taunting the other side. Because they know they're never held to account. You talk about just how masterful this indictment with Trump is. Barack Obama, he makes all the calls. He calls all the shots. You can see why he decided to stay in Washington, D.C. after his second term ended. But he ordered the hit yesterday because he knew the evidence would come out proving the Biden crime family is exactly that. And so out comes the indictment over the moving boxes. Okay, we've talked enough about that this week. We'll talk some more about it today if we have time. But don't let it distract you. This is what Obama is a master at. And so is the devil. Just throwing out a massive distraction to take away from the actual crimes, to get you to look in another direction so that you don't focus in on the actual crimes. Listen to this exchange on Jesse Waters' show about the timing of this indictment that they're hurling at Trump, clip 18.
What is the timetable for a trial in the middle of a Republican primary, possibly a general election?
Well, that's the issue. This is clearly election interference by Joe Biden. Clearly, this is clearly election interference. Isn't it funny that the day that Joe Biden gets caught taking $10 million from Burisma, Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland greenlights this indictment of his leading presidential rival? I mean, the timing is just, it's just coincidental, right? Well, yeah. So that here's what happens. Trump could try to move to dismiss the indictment, the sufficiency of the indictment early on, because there's not a legal basis for the indictment. The Presidential Records Act, not the Espionage Act, applies. I doubt a uniparty judge is going to go along with that. And so this will probably have to get resolved by the Supreme Court. It should be 9-0 by the Supreme Court if they actually follow the law. But at the end of the day, Trump may get elected in 2024 as a convicted felon who the Supreme Court has to reverse his conviction.
Just amazing to think that this is actually happening in the United States. He makes an interesting point there about the Supreme Court having to finally intervene. We'll see. And that's interesting, of course, in light of Amos chapter 7, the passage there about the king's court and my father's writings on that in the past about a reference, in fact, to the Supreme Court of the land. But as I said yesterday, the goal here is to wear down Donald Trump, to just wear him down, to the process. That's how they get to their enemies. Never mind if they don't have a legal leg to stand on. Just persecute. Just send in the, and at least with Donald Trump, he's a billionaire, so he can line up his defense with lots of lawyers as well. But think about what would happen to anyone else that doesn't have the resources that Trump has. If the DOJ is unleashed against you, that's where this is headed. I mean, we've already seen it with the January 6th protesters. Trump, for his part, of course, will fight back. I thought this was kind of getting ahead of myself. But play that montage of Donald Trump, or about Trump's courage to stand in the arena. I think it might be 15.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
At least he's in the arena. At least he's in the arena fighting this demonic deep state. Fighting for what's, and look at all that he's going up against. Consider the other side. I mean, here's this bribery scheme. This is the worst scandal for any president in history. I mean, you want to try to put this on Nixon or anything else historically? There's nothing that's risen to this level. My father wrote back in 2021, he said, the complicity among the political class, including Democrats, Republicans, the news media, and others, is far deeper than Americans realize. It says the amount of power, money, influence, technology, and intimidation they wield is staggering. They're all complicit, even on the Republican side. You know, where's Asa Hutchinson? Where's DeSantis? Where's Nikki Haley? Where's Tim Scott? Mike Pence, he just threw his hat in the ring. Why aren't they outraged by this? I mean, they've made a few statements here and there. But look, after Trump, I mean, then they're coming for them next. Can't they see this? Do they not have enough far-reaching vision to understand where this ends? Even Democrats, for that matter. I mean, this is a police state that we're living in now. Dan Bongino, he said to Newsmax, the police state is here. He's the conservative commentator. The police state is here. It's not coming next week. It's not going to be here next year. The police state is here now. The police state has been here. It's been here for years. You're just seeing manifestations of it right now. I mean, $5 million coming into the big guy to get a Ukrainian prosecutor fired. And now the big guy, he's in there as the president, a fake one at that. And he's unleashing his DOJ. It's never before happened in history. He's unleashed, he's weaponized. And of course, this happened long before Biden showed up. Obama did all this. Obama's still doing it. You think Joe Biden's running the show? Bongino also said on his podcast yesterday that this whole scheme to distract you with Trump and boxes is meant to protect not Biden and the Biden crime family. It's meant to protect Obama. Obama's the kingpin. Obama, as we said in America Under Attack, he's coming in the spirit of Antiochus, spoken of in Daniel chapter 8. If you don't have America Under Attack, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy. It's an 800 number. If you live in the States, Canada, the Caribbean, it's toll free, 1-866-930-3024. I mean, all of this corruption. 2 Kings 14 and verse 26. As I mentioned yesterday, God's looking at the affliction and he sees just how very bitter it is. And there's no helper for Jeroboam. There's just nobody to help. They're all so weak. They're lust, on the case of the Republican side, they're lusting for power. They, in their heart of hearts, they may not come out and say it openly, but they want to see Donald Trump removed as well. They want to get back to the old establishment days. You know, the good old days of the Uniparty, where Mike Pence and others will just compromise with the radical left. Just try to meet them at the table and surrender to their demands and hope that they'll like you and invite you to the cocktail parties in Washington, D.C. Trump sees it. Treason? If it's treason, then how about issuing articles of impeachment? Look at what they're doing to Donald Trump for moving boxes. Listen to Lauren Boebert yesterday as she talks about the crimes of the Biden family, the crimes that are made clear. I mean, this informant, he's being paid six figures by the FBI over the years because he's that trusted, that reliable. And look at what they relied upon to trigger Crossfire Hurricane. Chris Steele and some Australian guy that said something in a bar, and they take that and they immediately unleash this unjust investigation based on no evidence whatsoever. And yet here, there's evidence. There's evidence right there at the FBI. But no investigations into the bribery scheme. Certainly not. Oh, no. Just get Trump for moving boxes. This is Lauren Boebert. Yesterday, she read that document, that 1023, that Chris Wray was trying to cover up as long as he could. Clip 5.
What I can say is this has been going on for many years, and there was a $5 million payment made to Joe Biden, not Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the big guy. And this is, you know, we've been said that we're going after his son, that he has nothing to do with this office. But it's clearly laid out that they used Hunter Biden because he was stupid and that he could go through his dad for protection and that it would all just go away.
I mean, you've got the two $5 million payments. One goes to Hunter. One goes to the big guy while the big guy was working for Barack Obama. And then, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene, she says that Burisma hired Hunter to just make this investigation go away, to make Viktor Shokin go away. And then Biden made sure that happened. Can you believe this? The biggest scandal in the history of the U.S. presidency revealed yesterday. And right on time, here comes the Jack Smith indictment against Trump. You can be sure Obama was on the phone yesterday making sure that the timing of all this was just so. I mean, Nancy Mace even told her staff earlier this week, you can expect for the indictment to come down either Wednesday night or Thursday sometime when we get to finally see that document. that reveals the Biden crimes. Listen to Byron Donalds as he talks about this FBI document, clip six.
This document also stipulates that, according to the confidential human source, that money was being moved through several accounts, multiple accounts, to get to Joe Biden. I'm going to say it again. Money was moved on purpose through multiple accounts to get to Joe Biden.
Multiple accounts. Should I repeat it again? No wonder Biden gets up there in a moment where he says the silent part out loud. Where's the money? Where's the money? It was moved through multiple accounts. I mean, they've got it hidden all over the world. In this case, though, they're exposed. PJ Media, nothing to see here, but a credible whistleblower accusing the president of bribery. You would think Joe Scarborough and company, that they would just be hot on the trail of this story. Instead, they're part of the problem. They're part of the cover-up. It says President Joe Biden has been accused by a credible informant of allegedly taking $5 million in a bribery scheme with a foreign national while he was the sitting vice president. That seems like a pretty big story. I mean, doesn't that seem like a pretty big story? That Burisma would hire Hunter, who knows nothing about that industry, that business, that company, and pay him $70,000, $80,000 a month in order to make an investigation go away? Does that not seem like a big story? I mean, this is a bombshell, to use the term that the radicals love to use when they hear about a leaking pool or rustling papers or a moving box. What exactly, if it's espionage, by the way, espionage means spying. So if he stole the documents and he's now, we're back to, I guess, a Russian agent, Donald Trump, that is, can we actually get some kind of a gist of what the documents actually are? And where did they go? I mean, the FBI got them back after the raid. Espionage. Trump's guilty of espionage. And Biden, says Jim Comey, I mean, he's just upholding the rule of law. Apparently, there's a document laying out the accusation in some detail, PJ Media says, and not one cooked up by an Oppo research firm for the Republican National Committee and then disseminated to saps in the media to try to delegitimize a presidential election. He's basically making the point I made a moment ago. Look at all that it took for these radicals, these demons, to spy on, to persecute, to investigate Trump based on nothing. And here there's this bribery scheme laid out in an FBI document and a solid source that even Obama's people used. It says, I know it's getting tedious asking people to imagine the thermonuclear media blast they'd be swept up in if a Republican president had been accused of bribery by an FBI informant. That's just the way of the world. To this point, the debate over the proper pronunciation of Ron DeSantis's last name has gotten more coverage than the president possibly pocketing millions of dollars through shell corporations. Whatever the case, there isn't a real journalist in the universe, not a beat reporter or opinion writer or a copy editor, who wouldn't want to read an informant's account of a sitting president taking a bribe. You can debunk it, you can prove it, but you want to see it. Don't you at least want to look at the document? These same people that ignore it, that when they were just combing over the Steele dossier, oh yeah, the very first line, Trump's a Russian agent, et cetera, et cetera. He did this over in a Moscow hotel. He was engaged with all these activities with prostitutes. They just hyperventilated over that, and there was no truth to it. Here it's a reliable source. It says here, herein lies the problem. There aren't many journalists left. We know that the president lied about his knowledge of Hunter's relationships with Ukrainian energy concerns and Chinese interests. We have emails implicating the president as a participant in Hunter's schemes, emails authenticated by forensic specialists. We have witnesses, including the former naval technology officer, contending that Biden is the big guy Hunter is talking with in those emails. Even the Obama administration was alarmed about the Biden family business. Well, I'm not so sure about that. They knew all about it. Almost a year ago, it says, former Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro was indicted and arrested by the FBI for ignoring a congressional subpoena by the January 6th commission. He was handcuffed and denied permission to make a phone call to a lawyer. Today, it's the FBI that's ignoring subpoenas. How about that? And there will be no one to arrest FBI Director Chris Wray for contempt. No one's going to arrest Chris Wray. The House Republicans won't even take a vote on declaring him to be in contempt of Congress. They just don't have the courage to take those kinds of actions. And even that, I mean, there's not a lot legally that can be done with it unless you have a Justice Department that really and truly is blind, like it should be, blind politically, a Justice Department that's just looking at evidence of crimes. But that's not the Justice Department that we see today. So the document, and many Republicans have now seen it, it shows that the big guy and Hunter, they both pocketed $5 million. Hunter gets hired by Burisma. And in return, the oligarchs in Ukraine, you can see why there's so much money even to this day pouring into Ukraine. Billions, tens of billions, $130 billion. And there's no end in sight. They're continuing to pay off all the oligarchs. Well, a few years back, the Bidens pocketed their millions, and then they got Shokin fired as well. And then Biden, if you can believe it, publicly bragged about the quid pro quo. It's unbelievable. Clip 4.
I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired.
Got him fired. See, they brag about their crimes. They taunt you to your face. Hey, show me where the money is. Where's the money then? What about these charges by this credible informant that you're a sellout, that you've sold America down the river? Hey, where's the money? That was Biden's response yesterday. This was him a few years ago bragging about getting the prosecutor fired, withholding $1 billion from Ukraine until they went in and fired the prosecutor. Listen to Dan Bongino. I mentioned this clip early on where he said that it's not Biden, that these cover-ups, the indictments are meant to protect. It's Obama, the dear leader. This is clip one.
They are not protecting Biden. They're not. They're protecting Obama. You think they care about Biden? They would like nothing more than to see Biden go away. Nothing. I'm going to ask you a question out there. What do all of the big political scandals of the last few years have in common? Let's go through them one by one. The Russia collusion hoax scandal. Who was president when the collusion hoax was invented? Oh, wow, it was Obama. So strange.
Hey.
The Spygate scandal, when they started spying on the Trump campaign. Who was president? Gosh, let me think about that. That's right. It was Obama. The Hillary email scandal. who appointed Hillary Secretary of State, and who was Hillary Clinton emailing in the Hillary email scandal classified information. She was appointed by Obama, and she was emailing Obama on his BlackBerry. The Biden bribery scandal, where we now have an informant for the FBI who has indicated as far back as we know, 2020, 3 years ago, that Biden took a $5 million bribe in exchange for policy decisions. Biden was the vice president when this is alleged to have happened. So how the hell could Biden take a bribe for policy decisions he couldn't make? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the vice president doesn't make policy decisions. Who does? That's right. Obama. All roads lead to Obama. Every single one of these scandals, they are not protecting who you think they're protecting. They are protecting Obama.
All roads lead to Obama. That's what we've written about. And this has been in print for years. It goes back to 2013. America under attack. He's the Antiochus in these last days. And so, as Bongino rightly points out there, all roads trace back to him. I mean, think of, like he pointed out, Russiagate, Spygate, Clinton's emails, the Biden bribery schemes, the Biden crimes, the pay to play. It's all happening. It's all happening under Obama's watch. There's not too many. There are more today than there were 5-6 years ago who will at least criticize the dear leader. As my father brings out, though, in AUA, everyone else in the regime media, they swoon over Obama. He can do no wrong. And so they treat Biden the same way because Biden is Obama's puppet. As far as they're concerned, there's no crimes there. Tucker Carlson, by the way, had a second installment of his Twitter reports. This was from last night. Listen to what he said about Obama and Obama's family. Clip two.
By 2008, it was obvious to anybody who was paying attention that Barack Obama had a strange and highly creepy personal life. Yet nobody ever asked him about it. By that point, a leader's behavior within his own marriage, the core relationship of his life, had been declared irrelevant. It was Barack Obama's business, not yours.
He never was vetted. There's Tucker going where very few people are willing to go. Is his family living as squeaky clean as everyone says that it is? According to Tucker, there's some creepy behavior there. He leads into this revelation from the Wall Street Journal, which we've talked about a couple of times already this week. The pedophile network that Instagram is encouraging and helping people to delve into. Child molestation, child rape, child pornography. Tucker went on to say, and just a few statements after that clip I just gave to you, stealing, flaunting your wealth, striking women, smoking marijuana on the street, shameless public hypocrisy, taking other people's money for not working, all of these things used to be considered unacceptable in America. Not anymore. And then Tucker says, so it probably shouldn't surprise us that the greatest taboo of all is teetering on the edge of acceptability, child molestation. We're really on the verge of accepting that as normal, child molestation. And Tucker, he traces a lot of it back to the Obama years. Obama spearheaded so much of this. Now you've got the U.S. military saluting the rainbow flag, saluting transgenderism. It's right out of the mind of the devil. There, like I said, yesterday when we went through more of that article from the Wall Street Journal, it's just a sickness and a filth that you can't even wrap your mind around. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. So all this going on, and they're going to get Trump for boxes. You've had some among the regime media that even have said the quiet part out loud that, yeah, this is politically motivated, but what's the big deal? We just got to stop Trump from running next year. Listen to Rachel Maddow and then a sports commentator after her in this short montage, clip 14.
But you have to wonder if the Justice Department is considering whether there is some political solution to this criminal problem, whether part of the issue here is not just that Trump has committed crimes, but that Trump has committed crimes and plans on being back in the White House. Do they consider as part of a potential plea offer something that would proscribe him from running for office again? I don't know.
So you're going to have people sitting up there on his side and saying they can't beat him legitimately, and it's going to add momentum to his argument that they're exhausting themselves with doing everything they can to prevent him from being the Republican nominee because they can't beat him.
Those are two Trump haters right there. the last guy going, I mean, he hates Trump for sure, doesn't want Trump in, but acknowledges there that Trump's supporters are going to say, well, you're just doing this because you can't beat him at the ballot box. And then Rachel Maddow, the uphold the rule of law for sure. She's saying, is there some kind of political solution? Maybe if Trump came out and told the Justice Department that I won't run for office, they'd drop the case. What? Saying the silent part out loud. And then Joe Biden out there saying that this is not politically motivated. Listen to Mark Levin. This is his reaction yesterday to the Trump indictment, clip 9.
This is a disgusting mark on American history for the future to come by these bandits in the White House, by the Democrat Party that don't play fair anymore. They don't want to just win elections. They want to take control of this country. They want one-party rule. And they have used the Department of Justice and the FBI to get what they want. Merrick Garland is a mob lawyer. That's what he is. Jack Reed is a rogue Soviet-style prosecutor. The Presidential Records Act is not a criminal statute, and it was never intended to be. The Espionage Act of 1917 was passed under Woodrow Wilson, another corrupt president. Woodrow Wilson used it to go after his adversaries, and they imprisoned 2,000 people. So I suppose over there at the Department of Injustice, and this clown prosecutor spent a lot of time at The Hague, they probably figured these laws could be used to try and entrap Trump.
That's Mark Levin on Fox News last night. Skip ahead to this short statement from Levin, clip 12.
You want to talk about an insurrection? This is an insurrection.
He's got that right. Again, America under attack. You see where the real coup, you see where the real insurrection is. It's happening right out in front of us now. They've taken off the masks. They've thrown off the gloves. And they just come right out and taunt you to your face. Oh yeah, you got some dirt on me? Where's the money? See if you can find the money, says the fake president yesterday. When we come back, we'll get to the current news segment for this week. Also, some wonderful feedback following the Celtic Throne performance the other night in York, Pennsylvania. And then if we have time, on top of that, we'll conclude today's show with a short Bible study segment as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. there is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
A Chinese Navy ship cut off an American destroyer in the Taiwan Strait last week. According to a June 3rd U.S. military report, the Chinese ship sailed within 150 yards of the U.S. destroyer, forcing the destroyer to slow down to avoid collision. That same day, Chinese Defense Minister Li Shangfu stated that U.S. freedom of navigation patrols in the Taiwan Strait and South China Sea are a provocation against China. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told the same forum that the U.S. would not stop the patrols, despite Beijing's territorial claims. Aggressive behavior from China against the U.S. is becoming more common in these disputed waters. Recent events show that China is pushing more aggressively to claim the Taiwan Strait and South China Sea as its own. To understand more about the importance of China's naval belligerence and territory grabbing, read China is Steering the World Toward War. In the United Nations elections last week, North Korea was elected to a leading role in the World Health Organization. North Korea's appointment to the WHO means that a communist nation that cannot even feed its own people will be helping establish global healthcare standards. Also, Iran was elected to the Committee on Disarmament and International Security. The world's number one state sponsor of terrorism is now on a committee to maintain international peace, build friendly and equal relations between nations, and promote human rights. The UN was created to establish peace, but it has not had much success. These recent appointments only highlight the UN's uselessness. There is a way to lasting peace, but it will not come through man's institutions. To learn how the whole world will eventually have peace, request our free booklet, Ambassador for World Peace. An explosion Tuesday morning destroyed a strategic dam in a Russian-controlled area of southern Ukraine, flooding the area and forcing an evacuation. Ukraine accused Russian terrorists of destroying the dam. Russia blamed Ukraine. Previous estimates said that if the dam were destroyed, 4.8 billion gallons of water would be released. The resulting flood would place thousands of residents downstream under an evacuation order. The destruction of the dam could both help and harm both sides, and the fog of war still covers this incident. Destruction and misery are constantly escalating in the Ukraine-Russia war. However, as Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury has explained, there is tremendous hope in knowing Bible prophecy. Read his article, The Ukraine War Will Not Start World War III, to learn more. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There's your current news segment for the week. Nice to hear that North Korea is going to be weighing in on feeding the world, and Iran is going to be weighing in on the safety and peace of the world as well. What a world we live in today. That's just coming to you from the United Nations, as was brought out there. All right. Talk about an awkward transition, but to think about the peace and the joy, I'll see if I can tie it in, don't worry. To think about the peace and the utopia that is coming in, I mean, that's the very end of Celtic Throne, as you well know, if you've seen it. And we had another show the other night, I think 540 were in attendance in York, Pennsylvania. The troupe has since moved down into Virginia. Don't forget Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, on Monday evening. There's 440 that have already purchased tickets for that show. And then 736 thus far for the show in Virginia Beach on Wednesday. But listen to some of this feedback from the York performance just the other night.
It was a phenomenal show from the beginning to the end. The talent from one microcosmic area in mid-America blew my mind that you could actually do this. And then I found it was even smaller. They were pretty much students from one school. The talent and the degree of talent and the showmanship and the smiles were magnificent.
So we actually saw Riverdance in person, and I would say this is up there with Riverdance.
It was awesome. Thank you so much. It was fantastic.
I'd like to know more about the school because I came thinking it was the Dan Armstrong School from Belfast.
Okay.
So I'm blown away that it's a local American school. Based where? Oklahoma? I love the multifaceted, the musicianship / dancer, and the caliber is so extraordinary. Whether they're singing and playing, fiddle and dancing, phenomenal. The harmonies in the singing was extraordinary, and I'm critical. Like, I've just seen the best of the best for too long. It's the only thing in life I know is good music and good dance, and I pride myself knowing it, and I'm not disappointed.
Great.
I'm quietly delighted, and I just can't believe you've got five-year-olds on the stage, or young children, and their dancing is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'm shocked.
Awesome.
Delighted. Oklahoma, are you kidding me?
That last comment there comes from a professional, someone that runs a dance school. All she knows is dance and music, and she was blown away that some small outfit in the middle of Oklahoma could produce something such as Celtic Throne. So go to CelticThrone.com and you can get a rundown on all the remaining tour dates, starting with Richmond on Monday, Richmond, Virginia, and then Virginia Beach on Wednesday. A couple of programs ago, it might have even been last week, but I went through the wedding supper parable and how that, as Christ said, so many people were going to just make lame excuses when it comes to being invited to something as magnificent as the marriage between Jesus Christ and the church. Luke 14 and verse 26, I'll just leave it to you to go back and read the context leading up to this count the cost section, where Christ gives the parable of the wedding supper, or the supper that so many people just chose not to attend. Verse 26 says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." The meaning there of hate, of course, is to love less. We've got to love God more. That's the essence of the very first and great commandment, to put God above all else. The problem with most in this world is that they just won't give up the cares of this life. They put things, material things, above God, above their Maker. Let's just finish by going through a few verses at the end of Ephesians 5. These verses that talk about the coming marriage between Christ and the church. I mean, this really and truly is the solution to all the problems of this world. And so we want to fixate our minds on the God family, on the marriage between Christ and the church, on the children that are going to come along into the family of God because of that union. It's, I know, basic and simple as it's laid out in the Bible. But look at how complicated and confused and upside down it is in this world. You see this assault, this attack on all things family. Conspiracies against the father. Conspiracies against marriage in the traditional sense. Ephesians 5 and verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, unto the Lord." So submit yourself to the husband. That's voluntary. You've got to voluntarily acquiesce, as Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages, in order for the character of God to develop in your heart, in your nature, in your life. You've got to submit to God's family government. It says in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So it points us continually in this passage, it points us back to the perfect example that is Jesus Christ and the church spoken of in Revelation 19. I mean, when Christ returns, she will have made herself ready, as I covered last week. She'll be ready. She'll be prepared and ready for the marriage. She will show up. She's not going to make a lame excuse and say, well, I just bought a field. I got to go tend to that. I mean, she's committed. She's entered into that marriage covenant, and she's not turning back. She has counted the cost. She has put God first. This is the example that God wants us to continually look to. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. See, just like it is with Christ and the church, this is how we model our physical marriages and families. We just look at the pattern that's established in Scripture. We look at the spiritual. The spiritual comes first. The spiritual realm is more real than the physical because the physical came out from the spiritual realm. God brought all things into existence. And so we've got to look to Him and His purpose. We've got to look to the godly order of things. How did He organize it? And are we going to rebel against it or just submit to it? Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See, Christ is washing us. He adorns us in righteousness if we're in his church, if we're in God's family. We're cleaned up by the word of God. We use the word of God. We don't just read a few words from it in a short sermon on a Sunday morning. I mean, we study it every day. We faithfully turn to the Word of God. It's a how-to manual. Verse 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, an unblemished bride, a bride in holy attire. Here again, this is all described in Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. I guess I can read verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. What a wife. What a glorious picture. What a vision. Coming back to Ephesians 5 here, again, you get the instruction from the Apostle Paul. He lays it out there pretty clearly, the roles in marriage. And then in verse 32, he says, this marriage, in other words, is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a great mystery to this world, but it's not a mystery to those in God's family, to those preparing to marry Jesus Christ. It says in verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's all just submit to these God-ordained roles and live the way of love, live the way of give. Bring God into the marriage, bring God into the family, and more important still, prepare for that glorious union to Jesus Christ as soon as he returns. Be ready for that marriage supper. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week in some cases, and we'll see you next time.